For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Mia Hansen Aloha, Christy Dougherty, Just Sayin', Kelly Barlow, and Cindy Gerson. We love you girls. Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we'd love to talk about on ye old bras. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelorette podcast, and here I am, fresh back in L.A. with my gorgeous and talented little partner, Broken Bird, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banta Blender podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hi.
How's it going, baby?
It's going so well. It's so nice to be back in L.A. It's nice to be back doing the old podcast, back in the grind after a crazy week in New York.
Yes, we had so much fun. Thank you to everybody again who came last week. You gave us the time of our lives. We talk about our New York experience on today's bonus episode. So if you're not already a Patreon member, get over there. Become a member.
Yeah, we actually are going to do two bonus episodes this week since we didn't do one last week. So this first one, we talk about our entire experience of the things we did in New York City and what happened to the live show and what happened after the live show, etc. And then on the next bonus episode, I'll talk about my experience visiting the Summer House in the Hamptons.
Oh, and so jealous.
Like the actual real life Summer House. And we'll probably talk about, I don't know, probably Big Brother or something like that. So if you have not joined up for Patreon, you got to do it because you're missing out on some really fun stuff.
Yes, and our LA show is September 2nd. That's a holiday weekend, so we will be planning some day activities for one of those days. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be our biggest house yet. It holds a lot of people. So that's going to be a humongous party. So try and come to that if you can. We are so into this live show thing. I can't wait to go everywhere.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, we've done several live shows that, you know, we've had, you know, anywhere from 40 to 70 people at them, and they've always been awesome. But this Gotham show that had 300 plus people was a next level. It was a totally different experience. It was absolutely amazing. And I know we've been plugging our LA show because, you know, we want to sell tickets and everything. But it doesn't mean that we're being insincere when we say that it's going to be amazing. I think just by being around so many Crappens people, you know, when people cheer about random jokes or whatever, to have like hundreds of people cheering for that shit, it's so exciting. So we really, really encourage people. If you can make it to the LA show, you really should come.
Do it.
You are.
So you can get tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com. There's a link to where you buy the tickets and all that good stuff. So just go on over there. And in the meantime, we've got a great week coming up here on the regular show because so many shows. We've got Shaw's back. We're done with Southern Charm and Real Housewives of Potomac now. So Shaw's is back full time. And also we have Real Housewives of Oakland, which just started showing on Bravo this Saturday. You know, it's getting the Saturday cartoon slot from Bravo where they're like, okay, Saturday mornings for adults. So be sure to set your DVRs for that because it looks like it is going to be an absolute joy. And we're going to be giving Friday episodes to Auckland. So we'll be doing that starting this Friday.
Yeah. And I'm really excited to talk about that because I absolutely loved the first episode.
I did too. Oh my God, I cannot wait to talk about that show. I didn't even understand half of what they said. And I was like, I won't rewind. I'm just going to pretend this is what they said. It's like a really bad game of telephone, this recap. And it's going to be amazing.
It was like sheep's this, hobbit that. You know, typical New Zealand stuff.
All right, so here we are with the Shaws of Sunset.
Shaws of Sunset. So, yeah, let's just dive in. Let's do it.
We didn't get any Tommy this episode, which really made me unhappy, but we did at least get him in the very beginning yelling at Vita. Her father's sick, and this is what you're talking about? Come on, who are ya?
How am I supposed to watch the Mets if you're yelling at MJ? She's so hot and so beautiful. You got a beautiful daughter. I'm sorry, Vita. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have yelled at you, but she's beautiful.
Sorry, I'm so mad. Your daughter has a tight ass.
Classy Tommy. Tommy seems to have learned the cardinal rule of keeping a relationship. Don't come on the show. Just stay away. Just say there's a Mets game every day. MJ will believe you.
Yeah, or to be fair, maybe MJ has learned the rule, which is when you date someone like Tommy, just let him watch his Mets game. Just let him watch his Mets game.
You know,
luckily there's one on every single day, it feels like.
Often watching Shaws of Sunset, you know, like with any show, we go up and down on who you like, who you don't like, et cetera, et cetera. Reza is one who, I mean, just we vacillate greatly because sometimes he's so funny and charming and wonderful, and sometimes he's just such an evil prick. And I'm still kind of in that mode this season so far, but I think it's so fitting that he's the one in the opening that's opening the bottle of champagne in slow motion. And it's just because that's Kristen. Isn't that what Kristen does? And it totally fits that they have the same opening on Bravo.
Seriously? Seriously?
Seriously? Ugh. Like, seriously, Tom? Oh, my God. Like, seriously? It's like an oop. What they call it? The something Uber. What is it when she caught? The smoking Uber. That's like the smoking Uber, okay, Asa? God,
I'm killing
seriously?
The game. I'm killing the Persian game.
I take comedy very seriously, okay? That's Ariana, I think.
Yeah. So speaking of Shaw's Sunset or Asa, so we open up at Asa's house in Venice, and she's, you know, chopping watermelon. She's going to have some people over. Or she's going to have Gigi over, basically. And she brings her little snacks out to the pool, and she has this giant pool float. You know those, like, flamingos that everyone has now in all their pools? She has a version of that. I think it was gold. Her pool is 5 feet wide, and this float is 4 feet wide. I mean, come on. This pool does not need a floating flamingo. Did you notice that? She like was getting onto it, was like bouncing around. I mean,
she didn't even need to like get in a bathing suit. She wore an Asa caftan to get on top of that thing. It's like you can reach it from the side of the pool. But in Venice, that's serious space. I like that they open the scene. It's like, and she's making a watermelon smoothie. Like only this show could make that into a dance party.
I still don't know why Asa does not have a cookbook, because she always makes stuff that looks really good, and I actually trust her taste level. And year after year, she's hawking something ridiculous, you know, diamond water or her caftans. Her caftans are less ridiculous, but she's always doing something ridiculous. Why do you not have a cookbook, Asa? We are giving you free advice here. Make a cookbook.
Oh, she will. I can't believe she hasn't yet. If someone gives her that idea, she'll make like 20.
Well, she's going to make an annoying, like, baby food cookbook now. It's like, hey, babe, this is how to serve your baby. Like, this is how to serve your baby some Persian food. Babe. It's like crack.
Baby,
it's like crack.
Baby.
It's like watermelon with rice. Babe. For your baby. Babe.
Gigi comes over, and she's wearing a shirt that says selfie because, you know, Gigi is like all about her self-help at the moment and trying to convince everybody that she's not the villain of the show.
I was really hoping the back of her shirt would say like loathingy, like selfie loathingy. So I feel like that's more appropriate.
Selfie hatey. So she comes in, and some people bring, you know, some people bring an apology. Some people bring flowers. She knows how to butter up to Asa food. She's like, I brought hummus and vegetable samosas, okay? She's like, okay, you're forgiven. Welcome to my house.
I know. Babe, you're forgiven, babe. Babe. So
she first sees Asa, and she's kissing her ass so hard. She's like, babe, you look thinner, babe.
And Asa's like, really? But then Asa's also trying to show off her bump. This is her thing. She tries, she's doing anything she can. So she tries to show it off while reclining on this golden flamingo. But of course, since she's on a pool float, she just sort of just sinks into it. So she just looks normal and she's in a caftan. So, and on top of that, Gigi is self-absorbed. So Gigi's like, yeah, you look really skinny. You're like, you're skinnier than you've ever been. Like, what have you been doing? Losing weight, huh?
Because that's all she thinks about. Like, yeah. To people like Asa, that's not a compliment. Like, to people like me, when people come up and they're like, you look skinnier, I don't need that as a compliment. You know, skinny people need that as a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah.
People who enjoy eating don't need to be told we're skinny, okay? It makes us feel like we're dying of something. Like, if you tell me I look skinny, I'm going to the doctor and asking him why I look skinny, what's happening to me. Do I have cancer, AIDS, one of the big ones, Ebola? I don't know. Tell me what I have.
Do you have Ebola? Early onset Ebola.
So
you know,
Asa's like, oh, so Asa finally tightens her shirt and she's like, look. And she's like, oh my God, so you ate popcorn. She's like, no, babe. You need to poop. No, babe.
Oh, you want to go start working out at the gym? I can help you with that. Babe, there's like a babe in me. Like, a little duel is in me, babe.
She's like, oh my God, you're pregnant. Do you need the name of my guy? He's really good. I mean, you'd have to drive to get there. It's on the other side of town, but he's really good. No, babe, I did this on purpose. It's like, oh my God, who does that?
Yeah. Babe, people are like so shocked. Like, they can't believe I'm pregnant, but like, babe, I'm pregnant. Like, babe, I'm like, okay, we get it. You're pregnant.
And Gigi,
you know, Asa's
course...
going to be awful. Asa's going to be one of these people that's only going to talk about her pregnancy and only going to talk about babies. And then she's going to have a baby and be like, yeah, like my baby, like already so smart. Like already like pick up on so many things. Like, congratulations. That's what every parent thinks. Your baby's just a baby, okay? It doesn't like know what triangles are, okay?
She will have a mommy blog. And too bad the name Goop is already taken, because I feel like it would make sense for her.
She'll just name it Poop.
Poop, babe.
It's Persian goop. Poop.
That's so Persian.
That's so Persian. You're like Persian Gwyneth Paltrow. Like, it's crazy. Like, bitch, gotta have a goop site.
Gigi, of course, has her finger on the pulse. She's like, so is MJ jealous? It's like her first question. And Asa says, babe, I only care about one thing. This nugget. She's like, we all know you like chicken nuggets, Asa. Is MJ mad or not? She's like, no, not chicken nuggets, babe. I'm pregnant. She's like, oh my God, I forgot. So here's the card for my doctor.
It's called a samosa. It's not a chicken nugget. Babe, I want that too. Babe, all I care about is the nugget inside me and the nugget that's going to be inside me.
All I care about is sweet and sour sides for my nugget.
Babe, all I care about is like honey mustard sauce, and babe, they don't have it anymore. My nugget.
So Gigi's like, speaking of chicken nuggets, I'm totally different now. Everything's great. I've been going to therapy. Things are great. Like, seriously, like, I'm looking on the inside and I'm like, whoa, I'm different. And Asa says, yeah, well, you brought me samosas. So babe, I respect Reza's feelings, but his 1 year anniversary is coming up. So I want Gigi to come ruin it, basically. And she's like, my actions have no justification, okay? But don't you think Reza went too far, too? And she's like, babe, when you make a mistake, you have to be okay with being told you made a mistake, even if no one else takes responsibility. You can't, like, take score. Like, for example, since you've been here, you've asked about my baby, like, -3 times, you know? And I have to be okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, babe, you are sort of like a nugget because, you know, babe, you're, like, filled with pink slime on the inside. But, you know. That's okay, babe.
But you're still delicious. You know what I mean? She's like, thanks. Glad I drove all the way to Venice.
I know. But what was great about this was when Asa was telling Gigi how to take responsibility, this gave the editors a chance to once again pull out the flashback from last reunion of Reza being like, do you know what it does to my credibility when you say there's a sex tape? Do you know? It's my favorite thing, Reza crying, like being the
when you said I had a sex tape. I'm like, Reza, you do have sex tapes. You think that Reza's the only Fajito burrito in the world not sending around dick pics to everybody? I'm sure a trainer does have a picture of some hairy wanker, you know?
You know. Yeah, and you know, Asa's right. When you apologize, you should just apologize. It shouldn't be like, well, this, but you did this to me too. You should just apologize. But that being said, Reza he is a shitster, and he is an asshole, and it's an asshole we love, but he's an asshole nonetheless, and he stirs the pot. And the moment that someone basically comes back at him, he cries and plays the victim every single year.
Every time.
Everybody in Westwood.
So let's go over to Mike's house. It's a mess from his, you know, last Persian party.
Sorry to interject. The answer is yes, everyone. We have gotten your text. Destiny, who is the new cast member who is not on this week, apparently Destiny was on the people's couch. So there's that.
Yeah, so there you go. She's the new cast member, I guess.
Yeah.
So the party was, there's basically red Solo cups everywhere. There's like a broken down whore lamp crumpled in the stairs, you know. It's like just a shithole from his party. And he's like, yeah, because you know I'm Persian and Persians have this kind of party. It's like Solo cups on the floor, sticky things on the floor, or whatever. So then we see MJ, and she's bringing him food, and she's still trying to get her tits in her shirt.
Yeah. it's not totally work. She needs to reconsider some fashion choices, I think. I know she's trying to show off her tatas, but it's one thing to show them off. It's one thing to make them look like, you know, a sack of water balloons that are about to fall out of someone's hands.
Yeah, bouncy houses are fun at birthday parties, but when you're not using them, please deflate them, fold them up, and keep them in the garage. You know, like people don't want to see a bouncy house on a work week.
Yeah, it's like watching someone trying to transport a Jell-O mold in like a mesh bag. Like you're just waiting for that Jell-O just to crumble apart and just fall onto the floor.
So she's done the typical thing that begins every scene. She's bringing food to Mike. Yeah. She's like, what am I, Martha Stewart? What do you see what's in the box? He's like, my
what's
party
in the
was
box?
Dope.
What's in the box?
He's like, that party was dope, right? Like, did a lamp give me a lamp dance in my own house? God, I tried fucking that lamp again this morning. It really hurt.
I would have really liked it if MJ opened the box and it was Gwyneth Paltrow's severed head.
No kidding. If it's not Gwyneth's head or Justin Timberlake's dick, I don't want a box from MJ.
Actually, I would accept a box from MJ because her box was filled with chocolate croissants. And everyone knows me. I love a chocolate croissant, and I was barely containing myself on the bonus episode when you were talking about chocolate croissants so much, and now we're here talking about them again. I may have to get one after this podcast.
I know, Lisa Rinna? MJ ruins chocolate croissants because she brings them in, and it's like a guilt thing about some fight they had in a limo last year, which I didn't even get. They showed the fight again. What was it?
They were on a group trip, and MJ and Mike were already being tense, and they went to a Starbucks. They stopped the limo. They go to a Starbucks. And MJ had been saying things about wanting to lose weight or whatever, and then she decided to get a chocolate croissant. And Mike had told her in the Starbucks, don't get that. You don't need that. And she got so pissed at him because he was basically mansplaining and being condescending in the way that he is. And it was it's rude. But at the same time, I also sort of get what he's saying, which is like, oh, you're trying to lose weight. Well, I'm going to be the friend to say, like, no, don't get that. You don't need that. They got back into the limo and had just a huge fight. And I think the repercussions of that fight lasted like a year and a half.
Yeah. So they're like guilt croissants in a way. You know, it's like, remember when you were mean to me?
Yeah.
So she brings some chocolate croissants. We see that clip. And Mike's like, so, you know, when Asa showed the baby and stuff, like you cried. And, you know, that was sad because you cried. And she's like, no, babe, I only cried because she asked about my dad. And like, of course I'm going to cry because he's sick. And he's like, no, I think it was because she's pregnant. She's like, well, when she took off her thing, I thought she was going to show us a new caftan, which is so Asa, too.
Yeah.
And I don't even blame her for thinking that. Like, look, guys, yeah. Babes, I'm taking off a caftan to show a new caftan.
It's a caftan baby, babes.
Some of those Russian dolls of caftans.
Yeah.
You just keep opening it up, and there's smaller Asas with caftans. That baby, I'm surprised that little baby wasn't already wearing like a fake plastic rhinestoned caftan in the womb.
Yeah. It's in a caftan, a little uterus caftan. It's very much like Baby Driver. I don't know if you saw that, but like, the no pun intended with Baby Driver, but the main character in Baby Driver, he always has sunglasses on. And whenever people take his sunglasses or take them away or they break, he just always has another pair he puts on immediately. That's what I imagine with Asa. She just always has a caftan ready to come out. Baby Driver. Asa Driver.
Babe, make a left. Babe, yeah, that's make a left.
Like, okay, Asa, we have to go. We just robbed a bank. We have to go. Babe, have I told you about my baby yet, though? Babe, I got this great idea. I'm going to do this whole art installation. It'll be like bank robbers, but what are we really robbing? We're going to like rob a culture. And like the bank robbers, we can wear burqas. They cannot, but the bank robbers decision, like, Asa, the police are here. You just ruined the entire movie. The movie's over in 5 minutes because you didn't drive anywhere. Babe, I'm just trying to get it where I can, babe.
Babe. So now Mike has decided that he is going to jump on the MJ train because MJ and Reza are the worst at just picking someone to hate for the season and then making everybody do it for no reason.
Yeah.
So Mike took it pretty hard the last couple of years from all of them. And instead of fighting back and getting Reza and MJ back, which is what he should be doing, he decides they're too strong, so I'm just going to join them in abusing the pregnant chick, which is so wrong on so many levels, and also why this show is successful. Because these people, as much as they love each other in real life, have no problem with ruining each other's lives every single year.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to find someone. And it often tends to be a back and forth between Asa, Gigi, and MJ, which also kind of speaks to some of, I feel like maybe, like, I don't want to say misogyny, that's too strong, but it's kind of funny that the women are often bear the brunt of it. Although the women are often the ones who are coming strong with it, and Mike did bear the brunt of it. So my theory holds no water, much like Asa's pool.
Well, you could be a woman and still be a misogynist. I mean, that's true. Think this show proves it. The woman was the one who brought the girls with lampshades on their head.
That's true, too. You know me, I love doing the misogyny argument. That's like one of my favorite things to haul out. I'd be like, what? They took a limousine? Ah, classic misogyny.
Phallic symbol.
I just really like it.
But
I really
on this
like
show,
the
misogyny is so strong that you could literally say it about any scene, and I'd be like, yep, you're right. This is totally misogynistic.
So Mike and MJ,
how could she be pregnant? Like, why wouldn't she take the proper steps? In the Persian culture, it's taboo to get pregnant and then not even be married. That's crazy in the Persian culture, babe.
Yeah. It's kind of funny in a weird. This may surprise people in a very strange way. I'm a little bit of a traditionalist. Like, I actually do think, you know, it's really good if you get married first and then have the baby, because I feel like making a commitment to yourself first before you bring on someone else is, I think, always good. But I don't give a fuck, though. If you have a baby before you're married, that's fine. I just sort of feel like, for me, that's sort of a thing that I would aspire to personally. But I don't care. Have a baby. Like, they shouldn't be so wrapped up in it, you know? But it is an interesting thing. I mean, where do you stand on that, Ronnie?
Well, it's Asa. So Asa's not living by any... I mean, Asa had a protest dance to support women wearing burqas. I mean, come on.
Let's put a pin in it till later in the episode, because I feel like with Asa, it's a unique situation, and later on it comes up, and there's some interesting – I think there's some interesting discussion about, you know, about that. So let's put a pin in it. Okay,
well,
everyone,
MJ,
get excited.
Yeah, for this scene, it's basically – and they're just fueling each other's fire.
They're just trying to –
MJ's like, yeah, they don't even want to live together. And he's like, yeah, we need you to explain it to us. You know, you just do this and you don't explain to us. I'm like, says the guy who lied about his wife leaving him for how long? Because he cheated with how many fucking women, you pig? Shut up, Mike. Yeah. So MJ's like, yeah, they've been together 7 years and we never get to find out why they aren't together. Like, I'm open. You can butter me and fillet me and that's how open I am. I'm like, you're literally like a fatty steak. So it's not even fair. Okay.
You're gristle.
So yeah, then we go over to Reza's condo.
It's like the patterns are getting worse. He saw Twin Peaks and was like, hey, they're using Chevron, then I'm gonna double Chevron it up. And it's like, now it's lines and
now I'm a Chevron and a narco. So Asa's like, knock, knock, it's me, babe, with child, the babe with child, and babe.
Babe and the babe.
Basically, how Asa's going to enter every room ever is, hey, babe, it's me, the pregnant lady with child, because I have a baby inside of me, babe. Babe, you're not even going to offer a blanket to your pregnant friend, babe.
Babe, I believe in the babe. What babe? The babe with the power. What power? Power of voodoo. Who do you do, babe? Babe.
I hope she names that baby Babe.
I want to also discuss Reza's cat, Buzzy, because as many people know, I love cats, and I usually love all cats. This cat looks like it is not eating. Is Reza eating the cat food? Because this cat looks malnourished, and someone has to give it like some milk or tuna fish or something.
What the hell? That's so white. Like, you feed your cats? Like, persons just let their cats eat whatever they want. Like, you hunt for it, you eat it, okay, Buzzy?
Seriously? That's, like, so white to have, like, a fat cat? Like, you, if the cat's eating more than you, that's, like, fucked up. Like, we have to have... I have to be the one eating all the food here. Sorry, that was fat shaming. I'm sorry, Reza.
Well, okay, so Reza is having this anniversary party with Adam.
Because being married for a year is like a great sense of accomplishment, okay? My dad was a hoe, my grandfather was a hoe, my great-great-grandfather was a hoe. Like, somehow by the grace of God and therapy, I broke that chain.
I'm like, you're 45 and your boner isn't around as much, okay? You broke the chain like every other aging gay man does it. Less boners. Yeah. Like, let's stop beating around the bush, okay?
And it's also only been a year.
Yeah.
And me thinks thou dost protest too much.
Me too.
You know?
Yeah,
know
I have a feeling yeah, because Adam doesn't look happy in any of these scenes ever.
Well, to be fair, he did have to suffer the trauma of having some claw scabs for about 3 days. That's hard. It's hard to get over that.
I thought a dog mauled me.
Do you know what it's like to have scrapes on your neck? Do you know?
I cannot wait to get to that scene.
Yeah.
Okay, so MJ comes over, hopefully with food. So they go with Adam to the party bus to this thing, and Reza's like...
It has a travertine inset. That's so Persian. Travertine inset. It has a travertine inset, and it reminds me of all the complications of me and Gigi. I'm not making any sense.
Have you ever been confused of having a travertine inset? You ruined my family.
This travertine is hard. Almost as hard as the things that Gigi said about me. And they hit me so hard like a piece of travertine.
So MJ on the party bus, everybody's ready to have this exciting party at a petting zoo. And MJ's like, this is a shot in the dark, but I'm going to call Tommy and see if he's done with his client in the OC. And Mike's like, oh, we're all on pins and fucking needles waiting to see if Tommy's going to make it to the petting zoo.
It's nice to see Mike out of, like, the Jessica shit and being funny.
Yeah, it's nice to see Mike, like, hunched over like an old Godfather cast member with drawn-on eyebrows. He's disturbing. Mike is disturbing me. And later in the episode, he's working out in the gym wearing a Reza shirt. It's like Reza's face. It's like the golden duel. You're trying too hard. You're officially trying too hard, Mike.
Too hard. And meanwhile, so, of course, Tommy doesn't answer the phone. And then Asa's like, hey, guys, babes, multi-babes. Hey, let's play the pregnancy game, huh? I'm like, oh, God. Is everything going to be about pregnancy? Like, what is the pregnancy game? Like, okay, everyone, babes, everyone guess the baby's gender, okay? If you think it's man, if you think it's a boy, like, thumbs up. If you think it's a girl, thumbs down. It's like, this is the worst game I've ever seen played.
And this is also, speaking of misogyny, this is also part of this group. It's like, oh my God, it's a boy. Everybody wants it to be a boy. Yeah, that's like the most important, you know, you have a son. And then you could do whatever, you know, as long as there's someone to inherit things, babe. So, yeah.
Like, who's going to have a baby next, babe? Who's going to look at a baby next, babe?
Also, this is 2017. You can't be naming the gender of your baby. I did a bridal shower and they wouldn't even let me put anything blue or pink in case the baby identifies as, you know, something else. It's like, you can't even pick. How about I just give like an even, like, zero, okay? The baby will tell us its gender when it's 13, okay? How about that?
Yeah, I agree. I actually try not to do something pink for girl and blue for boys just because I'm just like, I don't, you know, like, this is this weird side of me that's really emerged over the past few years. But I'm basically like, just because it's a girl doesn't mean that, like, oh, a girl has to be pink. I'm just not going to support that. But I don't do it to be like, I want to see what the baby identifies with. No, it's more like I just don't want to support this idea that if you're a girl, you have to love pink. So I'll give someone something that's like gray or green or whatever. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't like socializing people.
Yeah, I got as it. I don't like buying you a gift. How about that? I don't want to pick anything pink or blue. How about your baby's little and doesn't notice anyway, and I already brought, like, Frontia boxes to your fucking bridal shower, and that should be enough.
Yeah, how about that?
No one gets me things for Bueller.
Yeah.
I don't get a party. No one gives me, where's my party?
How about no one gives me things? How about this? How about this? You know, I remember watching that Sex and the City episode of back in the day where Sarah Jessica Parker registers for herself, because she's like, I'm giving everyone gifts, but I don't get any gifts. And I'm the same way. I'm like, I'm not, you know, I've no plans of getting married anytime soon. I'm not having a baby. And yet all I do is buy people gifts. I want gifts.
Yeah.
I never get gifts.
Well, people started having those, like, I'm a single lady parties where people bring them gifts, like my single shower. it's like everybody just brings vibrators or whatever. So let's see. Adam's like, anyone want to guess when we'll have kids? No, Adam. Nobody wants to guess when you have kids, okay? The only person who thinks that having kids with Reza is a good idea is you.
Yeah. Nobody. And if there's anything worse than Asa's pregnancy game, is Adam's pregnancy game.
He's so, like, aggressively passive-aggressive. I'm on this bus. Does anyone want to guess when we'll have kids? I don't know, when you find a discount oven out of Phoenix or something. But you know that's going to be a haggle. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, listen. You're charging $100,000s to keep my baby boy inside of you? I'll give you $5. Okay, I'll give you $10. It's going to be like haggling over a womb.
To me, it's like asking, like, how much weight can a sidewalk support? It's like questions I don't really care about. I don't care about the answer. And no one wants to even look it up.
Like, how many jelly beans are inside Asa's baby, babe?
So then, so the bus pulls up at a place. It's called the Wildlife Way Station, which is also the original name of this show. I just want to mention Wildlife Way Station.
I know. I was like, who's going to jerk off on the other first? The monkey onto a cast member or the cast member onto a monkey?
Yeah.
Really?
And I like,
it's hard to even pick a side on this one.
So I like MJ's already getting upset because she's like, well, you know, in Thailand, we were allowed to go in the cage and like take a picture with the tiger. Like, what the fuck? I'm like, that's also because in Thailand, they drug up the animals and it's Thailand.
Yes. And Adam's like, well, that was Thailand and I wasn't there. Like, girl, I don't want to hear about Thailand. Because yeah. MJ just keeps saying, like, remember when we were in Thailand without Adam because you broke up with him because you weren't sure if you were going to get married, but we went anyway.
He's like, I don't want to hear about Thailand. I don't want to hear about Thailand. Like, literally to this day, I can't have panang curry. Like, don't.
Reza's like, yeah, maybe I ditched him when, you know, like, right after I proposed. Like, I ditched him to take the cast trip without him. And we went to Thailand. It was, like, the time of our lives. And we had the best time ever. So maybe coming to this, like, pet sanctuary in, like, L.A. will make up for it.
Yeah.
And he's so lucky that his boyfriend is such a rollover because, of course, it's okay. By the end, he's like, thanks, guy. This was really amazing.
I also love, I mean, Reza is so ridiculous. He was taking a selfie with Shervin, and there was, like, a line in the background, and Reza goes, her toes be hanging off the edge. It's like, first of all, it's not a very interesting observation. And yes, I'm aware that we make many uninteresting observations, but still, like, check out that lion. Her toes be all, like, off the edge. Like, bitches be like, I'm not going to keep my palm all the way on the ledge. I'm going to keep it a little bit off the ledge. Bitches be crazy.
I loved when Mike was saying, God, it's funny watching, you know, Adam twitch. Like, he twitches every time they say Thailand. He won't even have Bobo anymore. It's like, why would Reza do this, man? It's kind of sadistic and amazing. And Asa, of course, is like, I can't touch the animals, babe, because I'm pregnant. Okay, we know. We know you're pregnant, Asa.
Yeah. And then we had this weird cutaway to MJ and Tommy having sex, which I thought was so weird. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Those were two tortoises. I apologize. The tortoise is going, The tortoise is literally Tommy. It's like, Mets.
I'm sorry, Vita.
Can someone turn on WFAN? Matt's 660 FAN.
So Reza's like, Mike has a special connection to monkeys. Like, it's crazy. It's like so Persian. Like, nobody even gets it. That monkey's like crazy. I'm like, bitch, are you serious? And it's pointing its boner out of the cage and screaming at the top of its lung at Mike. And Reza's like, it's crazy the animals you connect with in the zoo, because it's like perfect, like you connect to yourself. Like, he's a monkey, get it?
Mike, he's like a giant gorilla, like Planet of the Apes. It's more like Planet of the Mikes, get it? Bitches be like, that's one of us, right, monkeys? Monkeys be like, whoa, huh?
And then the monkey just splooges all over them. It's like that's Silence of the Lambs. Yeah. In there. And they're like, only this cast would be like, we just got splooshed on by a monkey. I'm hungry. Anybody else?
Yeah, they're just like, whoa. And then they're like, okay, time for lunch.
Hopefully it's Thai food. Remember that Thai food we had?
Like, shut up. I want a baby.
Pad Thai, more like Sad Thai. That's me, Adam Sad Thai.
Please make it as bland as you can, because I'm not allowed to have any spice in my life. Sad Thai.
I've had to tell people that I can't have Pad Thai anymore because a dog mauled me. What? That doesn't even make sense. I know.
I almost died in an art gallery.
I was attacked by a Thai tiger.
Thai tiger? That's crazy.
So they have dinner, they sit down, because who doesn't want to eat dinner in the middle of a zoo? Smells delicious.
Yes, so, exactly. What's hey, her like, name? Is it me? Is there one less monkey in the cage now?
It's Mike.
Hey, what?
It's
what
like
happened to that
it's
alpaca?
Like fucking a lamp in the corner. It's Mike.
Did you notice, by the way, how disgusted the llama was with them? Like, someone tried to pet the llama, and the llama's like, no thanks.
Yeah. You people do not even understand a double L to start a name. I have no time for you people. You smell like monkey sperm. Get the fuck away from my cage.
That's so human. It's the Reza of llamas. It has a mustache. That llama's hair looks like it's in a chevron pattern. So, yes, they're all eating dinner, and so Reza's like, all right, new season, time to go up to Shervin. Hey, Annalise, what's your plan? You live in Australia, and Shervin be swervin' in L.A., am I right? See what I did? Bitch has her hand off the side of the table.
Shervin be swimming in pools of pussy, get it? It's like crazy. I'm like, Shervin, do you need something to float on the pool with? And he's like, no, I'm floating on a pussy. Because he gets so much pussy. You know what I'm saying, Annalise? And she's like, actually, I don't. Could anybody explain?
He was this silly man talking things. And then Reza's like, I mean, Shervin's basically a whore. Like, when Annalise is in Australia, Sherman's got to be finding the pussy. He's just a whore. That's what he is, a big whore. And he says he's settled down with Annalise, but he's a whore. I'm like, do you realize what you were just saw talking about yourself?
Yeah.
That you were a reformed whore, and now you found Adam, and you've been good for a year. Like, is this projection or what?
Well, it's normal. You want to drag everybody else down. It's like when you lose 5 pounds, and you're like, have I told you about my diet shake? It's like, oh my God, you've lost 5 pounds. Not you, but like me.
Yeah.
Or when people get married, they're like, it's time for you to get married. I can do it. You can do it.
And Reza's like, why are you trying to front, Shervin? We all know that we all know what you're up to, homie. Like, oh, gosh.
Yeah,
Gus,
you're
gonna be Audi 5000.
All he does is like chase skirts and eat pussy. Hey, why front? You gotta be put on the hotspot, motherfucker, if you're gonna be on this show. And he's like, okay. And Asa's like, hey, who here's gonna have the next baby? I'm like,
Like, Asa, you already asked that in the car. Like, the novelty of the question is not getting any better.
Yes. And Reza's like, look, Adam, I know. Like, he's so annoying. Like, he wants to have a baby because Oz is having baby, and they have to be the same age. He wants to move to the west side so our baby can be by Oz's baby. Look, just because I was lactating during our tennis match last week doesn't mean I want a baby, okay, white girl?
And then Reza does the most unromantic thing by comparing his marriage to a stew. He's like, it's like a stew, you know? Like, the first day it's good, but then, like, after 3 days, it gets really, really good. But it kind of stinks up your refrigerator at the same time. And people are like, wow, you've had that stew for, like, 5 days? Why aren't you going to throw it out of it? And you say, no, it's actually better. But no one believes you because it looks disgusting.
Also, it can't run away from your fridge. Am I right?
It's like Adam's, like, a prisoner, Stockholm syndrome. Also, I like that his stew, he's like, it's much better. It's like a horish.
Horish.
Yeah.
It's like a horish.
Yeah. I'm like, you're even calling your stew a whore. Like, calm down over there.
So then Asa's like, okay, guys, new game. Okay, every single one of you ask me a question about my pregnancy. Okay, we'll start with you, MJ.
Yeah, MJ goes, I like that MJ started this one because she's like, okay, I have a game. Let's just ask each other anything that we want to. No rules. And everyone's like, okay. And Asa goes, okay, fine, because she knows it's about her. It's all going to be about her. And Mike's like, oh, are you going to eat your placenta? And she's like, yeah, babe.
Her placenta is just going to be a caftan. She's just like a caftan just going to flow out of her. Babe, I'm eating my own caftan.
People are going to be breaking their teeth on like the plastic jewels from her placenta.
So then MJ is like, okay, I'm going to get into this. So she's like, so did Jermaine propose? Like, why are you like, do you want to be married, but like not right now? Like, do you know why you're 6 years into a relationship without being engaged? Do you know why, like, you are in a loveless marriage? You know why, like, MJ, that like, is it weird for Jermaine Jr. to be have a girl named Asa whose friend is named MJ? Is that like too close to home? Is it strange? Is that why he's not proposed to you yet?
Yeah, she just wouldn't stop with the questions.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel lonely? Don't you feel sad that you're pregnant but also alone? Do you feel like you've been totally abandoned by Jermaine because he refuses to marry you even though you're pregnant? Do you feel ugly? Like, do you feel fat right now? Do you feel fat and ugly? Because you're kind of fat and ugly. Like, what do you feel like?
Does Jesus. Janet not approve of you? It's funny because Asa's like, babe, like, I'm happy. I don't care. So why should you care? Like, you shouldn't have to care. Babe. Which I agree with. It shouldn't matter. They're just doing their thing. But, you know, I actually think it's not as cut and dry as that. First of all, I think the reason why MJ and Mike are annoyed is because basically Asa's not showing this stuff on camera. You know, Jermaine's not coming on. And they're like, we put all of our relationships on TV and you don't put Jermaine on. And that's like not fair because then you come off looking good. And we, you know, we look shitty and we're limiting our careers, you know?
Yeah, so they literally said that. I mean, they did say that on the reunion last year. MJ was like, you don't ever have to show anything. You don't have to show your relationship. You don't have to show shit. You just get to be this perfect little whatever. And so they're really going. And then Mike decides, which I can't believe he even went here, but he's like, you know, like, I was married to a white girl. And, you know, marrying a black person as a Persian, that's still a big deal in our culture. Like, you're going to have a black baby, okay? So, you know, this is a perfect scenario to maybe talk and enlighten the world about it. But she's making us look like the stupid ones for even asking. Like, that is a pretty ignorant fucking thing to say, ass.
Yeah. But I think he's being insincere when he says that, because I think he just he's just annoyed that Asa gets to shield part of her life from the show, whereas the rest of them are obligated to.
Also, his girlfriend had to convert to Judaism to, like, keep with the culture. Even if he's going, you know, even if he's doing things that aren't, like, the culture, babe, he's at least, like, man, Jessica, I had to send Jessica to school. Like, she had to, you know, be dunked in a river or whatever the hell to become Jewish to make it okay for them.
Right.
So why don't but I think you it would to be shit ever, you know?
I mean, I do think, though, even though he's being insincere, he has a point in terms of, you know, I think it would be interesting to see an interracial black Persian couple and how the families deal with that. And like that actually could be a helpful thing for the viewing audience to see. It's always good to see things like that. I always think it's good to sort of enlighten people, et cetera, to like the challenges of those situations. But I don't think he really cares about that.
Yeah, I don't think he cares either. I think he's just being a racist asshole. And also, no one looks to the Shahs to be enlightened. I mean, these are some of the most unenlightened, backstabbing shitheads on TV. And for Mike and MJ, of all people, to be moralizing is disgusting.
Yeah. Well, I think the issue is probably somehow, it's probably some of it is wrapped up in the fact that Jermaine is from a very famous family. And they probably are like, we don't want to be involved with this show. And second of all, I mean, he is a Jehovah's Witness. And they probably have a lot of tangled stuff that they're trying to deal with between her being Muslim, him being Jehovah's Witness. I don't know how strong of a Jehovah's Witness he is. But, you know, I would not call them the most compatible religions. So,
well, I'm looking at it in a modern LA way. If you have a rich boyfriend who's connected to a lot of money and he ain't marrying you, the best way to marry him is with a baby.
Well, that's
it's
so
like
that's
an
what MJ gets into.
Soap opera. Like, just
well, that's what MJ gets
girl.
Into, which is where it gets more interesting. Because remember before we're saying, like, you know, if you were going to have a baby out of wedlock, whatever, you know, listen. Things are different now. Like, even though I was saying I think it's good to have a commitment to each other before you have a baby, I understand that these days a lot of people say, really, is marriage really a commitment to each other? What does marriage really mean? You know? So I get that. And I fully support that mindset too. And so, but this situation may not be all that, because MJ was really trying to say, like, do you guys have some issues in your relationship? You know, why is it that you've been together for this long and there's been, you know, no talk of wanting to take anything to the next level? And MJ was starting to suggest that Asa was waiting around for a proposal and it never came. And kind of this was her way to sort of lock it down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know, because she won't say. And that's her prerogative. She's already worked out that she doesn't have to fucking talk about it. And MJ can put her sloppy life all over the place if she
wants
to.
Listen, we're talking about the Jacksons here. How dare you enter Bobby Brown into the mix? How dare you?
MJ's like, if things aren't perfect, why not talk? Because that protective shell is bullshit. It doesn't protect the ice cream from my mouth, and it's not going to protect you from loneliness. Okay, bitch.
The shell may be magic, but it's not protective.
Yeah. So next, Gigi has lunch at a coffee shop with Adam. And
yeah, I just want to mention they went to Demitasse on Cahuenga, which I really liked. And in classic Shah's a Sunset style, the place is now closed down. I was like, why did Demitasse close? It was cute. I'm like, oh, I see now, because the Shahs went there. Okay, got it.
Yeah, they do really close down. They're like the city inspector.
Yeah.
This is everything just closes down after they leave. It's like, we can't even give you a C this time, guys, okay? You've had Gigi in a chair. It's over. So Gigi is wearing her City of Angels shirt, and this place says caffeine, sunlight, and moonlight. Like, add some crushed up Adderall and about 5 bottles of tequila, and you might have a chance with this cast, okay? So she goes in, and I've just read another restaurant apology for Gigi. There's got to be some supercut somewhere of Gigi meeting people in restaurants so she can't throw things and trying to apologize, because it's like 3 times a year.
Yeah, nonstop. So they go in, and Gigi's like, Adam, I'm so sorry. Like, the one person who was innocent in all this was you, and I feel terrible, and you're just a sweet soul, and you're innocent. And, you know, everyone treats Adam like he's just some child, you know? And then he's like, well, I didn't get an apology. And Gigi's like, actually, yeah, I texted you this whole apology, a really good apology, the very next day. And he's like, oh, I may have had you blocked at that time.
Well, he's trying to go with it, because, you know, Reza was coaching him like, no, you don't take an apology. You save this, then that, then this. And so he comes in there and he's trying to be so strong. And this is why they treat him like a baby, because he's literally a giant baby. Like, he will stomp off crying. OK, so she's like, she tries again. It's like, well, you know, what happened to you was like the biggest fuck up I made, but I love you. And like, you're like the most innocent. And he's like, are you saying that I'm sorry what I did to you? Because people ask what happened to you, and I just have to say I was mauled by a dog. And she's like, I'm sorry, and also about the video, I said I saw a sex tape. I don't have it. I didn't see it. It was a lie. But, you know, time heals everything, and people change and grow and learn. I'm like, no, they don't. They just get better at fucking lying before they stab you.
And it was interesting because she said, I lied. You know, I said I saw the sex tape, that I had the sex tape, and I'm just telling you right now, I don't have the sex tape. I'm like, oh, so you still say you saw it?
Yeah,
but either way,
I think that she's lying now just to get everybody to be nice to her, because she doesn't want to get sued for putting out a sex tape. I have no doubt that the trainer was like, Reza sent me a picture of himself jerking off or whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure there is one. But either way, Adam just cracks me up. It's like, I had to walk around in public. And every time they show that flashback to that fight, when she comes running out the door and he's just in the way, and you know, her nail's already out. She runs into him and he's holding like a bouquet of flowers. Because it was like the passive aggressive flowers that everyone got. And he's still holding his, and she crashes into him and petals go everywhere. And he goes, Gigi,
Gigi. Like she's a dog. And then he's trying to have this resolve. And she's like, I'm sorry, grow and learn. And he goes, apology accepted. Oh, girl, I never hated you. I was just upset with you. Like, you know, this is as far as it can go, though, because I can't sneak behind Rez's back, okay? Yeah. Like, we've agreed that only happens in the steam rooms, which you're not allowed in at our gym. So
it's also physically difficult for me to sneak around his back. So then he goes home and he tells Reza about everything, and Reza's like, oh, well, you know, you can have a friendship with her, but I'm not going to have a friendship with her because she's always hurt me. So you can have a friendship with her. It's like, okay.
If every time I had a problem with somebody, I made up stories or tried to hit somebody, I wouldn't get anywhere.
I'm like, I don't know that you've hit anybody, but you've done a lot of other damage, which I think is kind of worse, jerk.
Yeah. And Gigi hasn't gotten anywhere. So, you know, you're right. I mean, that's why she hasn't gotten anywhere, but it's not a surprising revelation.
Yeah. So over at MJ's condo, she's day drinking and about to stir her drink with a curling iron, which is MJ.
Somewhere Tinsley Mortimer is horrified.
No! Don't take my trademark away for that drink!
So there's a knock at the door. He's like, it's me, babe. Okay, so they're getting ready to go to this beach house party in Malibu.
Yeah, Sherman's going to the house.
We're going to go take cameras into the sick dad's physical therapy room, which...
Yeah. It's sad. So here's the thing. The scene where MJ's dad is lying in bed and, you know, MJ's talking to him, I was cracking up. Not because of the dad. I think it's very sad, and I feel, you know, I feel awful for what MJ has to go through, and I really hope he is better. I was cracking up because Reza crying in the corner, because he's so funny. I mean, like, I do believe he was really, you know, sad, and this is a man that he knew and he's grown up with, but he also sort of made it about himself, and the way he just sits in the corner is like, and at one point, I almost recorded this, and maybe I should have, you know, MJ turns to her dad and says, Reza is sad right now because he hasn't seen you in a while, so he's sad. And then you see Reza in the corner and tries to put on a smile, and he's like, and then it just like crumbles into him crying.
Yeah.
And the transition from his smiling to frowning was so amazing. I felt bad laughing at him, but it was brilliant.
I didn't feel bad because he immediately makes it all about himself. He's like, I can't believe that I knew this person as a teenager. I'm like, this is not about you, okay? And MJ is like, look, Reza's crying, Dad. It's amazing. Reza is feeling things, and it's because of you. Congratulations. You won a truck. And the dad's like, well, fuck him. I had a stroke. Like, I think I win the pity party, okay? It's like, let's sit around Reza and see how he feels. He's like, do you see me here? They've got me in front of an open window. Like,
he's like, I'm trying to recover here. Why'd you bring Reza?
Yeah, Reza gets like a I feel things for a day party.
Yeah.
So over at the Malibu party house, Gigi, they're unloading stuff. And Gigi's like, well, oh, look at all this alcohol. I don't drink hard alcohol anymore.
Yeah.
Those are interesting steps you're taking there, Gigi.
Yes, I wrote down the same thing.
It's like the 13th step. Wine is fine.
It's from the Catherine Dennis School of Rehabilitation.
I'm only doing this to show people that I can. That was my favorite thing from The Southern Charm. I just ordered that margarita to show people how strong I am.
Yeah. So then MJ and Reza are riding over, and now Reza's crying. He just cannot control himself. I'm so sad. And MJ is like, it's crazy. Like, I mean, yesterday he was tap dancing and we were just like playing soccer in the hospital room, and I swear he's a different man. He's like, bitch, be in denial. That's like so Persian, to be in denial.
Yeah, she's like, he was doing a back handspring, and I was like, Dad, I didn't even know you knew how to do those. I mean, he was feeling so good today that I thought he's gonna ask you for a hooker. you know, that's it. And he's like, denial. So here we are. Reza's like, quote unquote, feeling things and already finding a way to turn this around on MJ. Just so wrong.
Let her be in denial. Like, so what if she was maybe a little disconnected from the reality of the situation? That's her dad. Like, if this is how she needs to cope, then let her have it.
And what sick person in the hospital wants their family coming in going, oh my God, look at you. That's not what people need. Like, God forbid someone acts positive, you know?
Yeah, it's like when people say, you know, like when, you know, like, God forbid, knock on wood, and someone's like in a terminal situation. Don't worry, you're going to beat this thing. Why not be positive?
Reza just walks around the whole party. They're like, how are you? And he's like, can you believe it? Like, I cried. And like, MJ, like, she's in total denial. It's like, whoa, denial's not just like a lake in Austin, okay? It's like, come on, bitch. It's like so white to like not even cry, you know?
I mean, it's like, never mind. I was trying to formulate some sort of Chevron joke, and then a motorcycle drove by outside, and I got confused. I don't know if I can formulate this right now.
I can't.
I have to make another Chevron joke. I can't.
So Gigi sees Reza, and she's nervous, and they're all helping unload all the booze out of the car, which, Jesus, it's like, was there an earthquake in Haiti? It's like all the supplies to help the people, you know? So many boxes. And yeah. Adam's like, did you talk to him yet? Did you talk to Reza? Because, like, I want to hang out with you, but I can't hang out with you unless Reza says it's okay. So, like, hurry, girl, hurry. I don't like anybody else here. Hurry. And she's like, he's unloading the car, so I'm just going to wait. And she's saying it's because she's stressed, but you know that bitch doesn't want to carry anything. She's like, I'm not helping. Get out of here.
Gigi, you gotta talk to Reza because I've been telling him I got bitten by a parrot, okay? That's where I was the other day, okay? You gotta talk to him.
Did you say bit by a parrot?
Yes. All his excuses are he was attacked by some benign animal.
He's like, Polly wanna cry. Ow! Ow! I can't be friends with you anymore. I will not eat quinoa. I won't.
So now it's, yeah, he was, that was. We forgot to mention that Gigi was like, do you want my ginger beer or some quinoa? He's like, no, I'm not going to have the quinoa.
Yeah, it's like, just water. I was like, okay.
I'm mad. Just Demitasse,
okay,
water.
Ms. Carrington. Yeah. Mike is like, yeah, she's in complete denial. And Reza goes, yeah, she said today her dad was going to be there to walk her down the aisle and hold her baby in that order, Asa. Okay, that's how we do things. We're Persian, white girl. So then inside, everybody's already getting drunk. And we just get this tiny little snippet of Adam going, you're Reza's cousin? Well, that means we're cousins by marriage now. And the guy goes, oh, happy cousin, bro. And he hugs him. And then Adam gives this look like, ow, while he's eating a chip.
Not near the scratches. Ow, my Gigi scars hurt.
My invisible Gigi scars will hurt when Reza tells me they're healed, okay? They'll heal when he says they're healed, okay? Until then, ouch, cousin. Ouch. I'm going to call you cousin ouch, okay?
I'm going to have to tell everyone that a goldfish kissed my neck. So so then it's like party times, belly dancers. We see Tara again from Newlyweds, a.k.a. Gigi's new friend. And then this is also the first time that we meet Gigi's man, because as we all saw in the tabloids, Gigi got married and then divorced all in between the seasons. So we meet her new man named Shalom, which is funny because Shalom means hello and goodbye. So he really is
perfect.
He has an arc in his name.
It's like he's made to be with Gigi.
Yeah.
It's except like a lazy Shalom also season means of peace. Shalom.
Shalom also means peace, so it doesn't quite live up
and
to that.
And war. It just means everything.
It means everything.
Their story was like The Notebook. She's like, well, you know, this is how I met him. We live in the same building, and then one day I was like, hey, and then that's it. We've been hanging out ever since. It's like, is Ryan Gosling available for the film version of this story? Because it's fascinating.
Yeah, she's like, you know, he pressed 3, I pressed 4 in the elevator, and we're like, whoa, that's crazy. We both like pressing buttons in elevators, and been together ever since. To be fair, we've been locked in an elevator, and it was just yesterday, but still.
So Reza gets a drink in him or whatever, and he's like, okay, it's time for the makeup scene. Gigi, yalla, come here, whatever. So she's like, oh my God. He's like, I think we need to talk, because like today I was at the hospital and I was like crying. And I'm like, wow, what's really important? Like, what's not really important? What's really important is MJ's in denial and we need to all band together to turn against her in her time of need, okay?
She like literally thinks the earth is still flat. Like, that's so Persian. What's wrong with MJ?
She's like, well, I have stuff for you guys, and I've been like waiting for this because like me and Reza, like, you know, we're like, we weren't good, but like it's good, you know. And then she tells us, I miss being okay with Reza. I want to talk shit with him about everybody else, not each other.
Yeah. So then she does this thing. She's like, you guys, can you just like sit here for a second? I got gifts for everyone. Okay. So she comes back. You think it's gonna be something like really like interesting and heartfelt and sentimental. She's like, so remember when we were in Belize when we like yelled at each other? So there was like a guy on the roadside selling these little people, and like you're supposed to put the people under your bed and they protect you. So I got everyone a little person, and she hands out these little weird like tchotchke figurines. It's like, oh
yeah,
this is nice.
It's like, I wanted to give them to you that night, but then, you know, I stabbed a tree or whatever. And then she's like, Reza, last year was horrible and we put each other through hell. And I was like, uh-oh. She said, we put each other. This isn't going to work.
Yes.
Yeah. And then she said, I want to apologize for anything I've done to hurt you and your family and your husband, but not specifying. And I was like, this is not going to work for Reza. But then he was like, I appreciate it and it means the world and I don't harbor resentment and I apologize and what I did to you and let's move forward. It's like, you know, it's sincere when he's doing it in question talk.
Yes.
As a question speech.
But you know what, though? To be fair, the Shahs of Sunset, what one thing they're really good at is not drawing out last season's feud into this season, because some shows, they draw out those feuds for way too many seasons. They're pretty good about, okay, we'll keep the feud for about for like one or two episodes, and then we're going to squash it and start up something new.
So and I'm Reza, like, hey, is really a master at making sure that he's the one who starts the feuds and they're not involving him. They're always somebody else.
It's always that he's the one that they always have to come groveling back to. He's the one who says, hey, Gigi, can you sit on this couch with me right now? And it's like, me? It's like he is always in control of the situation, which you have to hand it to him. That's not easy.
Yes. I mean, those people probably think that mustache craze. Remember when those mustaches were everywhere? It's like, that was Reza.
Yeah. Oh, God, that mustache craze. I forgot about that.
Remember? It's like, that was Reza. Bow down.
Yeah.
So that pretty much brings us to the end of the Shahs of Sunset.
All right. Well, that was a fun episode. And tomorrow we'll be back with some Real Housewives of Orange County, which is always a delight.
So fun. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Love ya.
Thanks for listening. Bye.